Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to Wigham Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. Thank you for joining us today for our service today. If you have any needs or anything that you need, the church may need to know, if you'll use your tear off here or it's in the insert here and just put it in the offering plate for us, we'll take care of that. Tonight, Christmas Eve, candlelight service in the old church at 6 p.m. Just go up the ramp to the back of the church there and it's set up. I hope to see you there tonight for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. December 31st, no evening services. January the 18th is Standing in the Gap for Men Ministry here at the church at 7 p.m. January the 22nd. Is the Titus II Women's Ministry here at the church at 6:30 p.m. Our Lottie Moon, as you can see, I had Janice counting some more money this morning because I make mistakes. But ask Paula. No. we have a little over 1,200 from our estimation. I think that's pretty close. So our goal is 1,500. So we still have plenty of time. To give for that, if you have not, or if you wish to maybe give some more, please just designate it to Lottie Moon. Thank y'all for the supporting that Christmas offering. Any other announcements? Okay. Birthdays. Any birthdays? Okay. Let's open with prayer and then we'll have a mission video. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for our Lottie Moon offering and the commitment that our church has made, Lord, and the goal, Lord, and we are close to it, Lord, and I just want to lift that up to you today, Lord, especially that we are able to meet our goal, Lord. I thank you for the ones that have just given so generously, Lord, during this Christmas season for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. But I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord. As he brings your word today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we realize that Jesus is the only one that is really worthy of our worship, Lord. And I know so much goes on during this Christmas season with families and friends and fellowships and parties and things like that, Lord. But let us just get all of our worries or our concerns out of our minds today, Lord, and let us just worship Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, I think we have a mission video.
I decided to write a letter to a missionary couple from Miami who baptized me, mentored me, and discipled me during my life, and this is my way to say thank you to them. Dear Henry and Tasha, it's been a long time. I know we don't talk that frequently or have the chance to meet in person recently, even living in the same country, but I thought this could be a good opportunity to remind you how much I love you. Your friendship and companionship changed my life. From having conversations with a 16-year-old girl who dressed all in black about life and being a teenager, to teach me the Bible at your house in Renee Street, to the summer camps to pray for me countless times, and many, many more memories.
But most importantly, there was no relationship with the Lord. However, in your family, I felt true Christian love. The care and the kind words you both always had for me is something I always be grateful for.
Also, I finally found a great example on how to form a family centered in Jesus. The way you raised your kids, the hospitality you always had with your neighbors, and the love you had for each other made me realize that another life was possible.
You supported my dream of living in the United States, and most of all, you both taught me how to trust and surrender my life to Jesus.
And even in the lowest times, I proudly say I live a joyful life, and the Lord is my shepherd. With him I lack nothing,
many more lives could be touched by your love and care for the people. No matter the distance, you will always find a friend and a sister in Christ in me. Los quiero mucho. Fio.
We need to hear that.
We did.
That's because y'all were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You can't do it by remote control. You can't mail it in. You can't show up on a Thursday and leave on a Sunday. You have to stay there.
Yeah. I think what it was, one of the most important things is that they were there. They were in your way. They were present there. In Spanish, we say, estaban con nosotros, vivían con nosotros. And that changed me. That affected my life personally.
Well, good morning again. It's good to see everybody. The first hymn this morning will be Joy to the World. Hymn 87, let's sing all four verses.
Thank you.
be 177. There's something about that name, 177.
It's her first baby, unexpected to be sure, unbelievable in how and why he came, and unimaginable in his humility. Under ordinary circumstances, he might even have been unwanted. Yet, that night in Bethlehem, Mary cradled him close and searched his tiny face. In that moment, she was overwhelmed with the love for the gift she had received.
Thank you.
leaders now is to do our part in passing the gift along. Through our testimonies, our songs, and especially the lives we live, we offer the gift to others. It is like a present we have chosen carefully and wrapped, anticipating the moment the recipient will open it and exclaim, "Oh, it is just what I wanted." Together we look forward to the moment we will come into his presence and thank him for all he has done for us.
Oh,
chapter or something like that, amen. Kind of get choked up on that, because if you think about it, put yourself in that storyline, what are you going to do when you stand before him, see him face to face? How can that not be powerful? We sang the song this morning, Jesus, there's something about that name. And this morning, trying to think about what to preach on, that's going to be the title of my message this morning. Jesus, there's something about that name. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it tells us that the Messiah's name, says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When we turn to the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, I want us to look at these few verses in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Listen to what it says. It says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of, or spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. Jesus, there is something about that name. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, listen to what Paul says. He says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is it about the name Jesus? It was a common name. It was a common name. Matter of fact, if you look through Josephus and you say, well, that who is Josephus? Not, what's the name? Country singer. It's not Bosephus, it's Josephus, right? Josephus listed about 19 different people by the name of Jesus. So it was a very common name. But as history plays out, because of the uniqueness of Jesus and Jesus of Nazareth and how it was connected to Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, that name became very uncommon to be used in the Greek world in the time of Jesus. As we look at it, we realize that his birth 2,000 years ago has divided everything. We talked in Sunday school a little bit this morning about his birth is a dividing time in our calendars, right? Everything before his birth is what? Before Christ. I don't care what they changed the name to, because it was B.C., now it's B.C.E., I think. And I'm still saying it's still before Christ, you know, of everything. And then afterwards, it doesn't matter what you change it to, he is still the dividing line of all time. Because everything before him looked to him, and everything since him has looked back to him. It is Christ and his birth that has changed the world.
But what is it about that name? We see that it scared the most powerful kings of his time. And I think world leaders today are still scared to death of Jesus. Amen? Because if they weren't scared of him, why are they trying to annihilate Scripture and his teachings and everything that's good that Christ put forth? They're trying to wipe out and make of no effect. They're still scared of him, although they might tell you he doesn't exist or didn't exist. They can't prove that. His miracles amaze people. Amen? His teachings rocked the world because even the religious rulers of the time couldn't stand what he had to preach, because he spoke truth, not man's opinion. He called people to follow him, although he promised them nothing in return other than he's going to go prepare a place for them. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He had nowhere to call home. He just simply said, "Follow me." And people did. As we think about his claim to deity, although many denied it, it could not have been proved any more than what it was on the morning he arose from the grave. You can say all you want to about all the other supposedly ways to get to heaven, but if you go to the grave of Buddha or Confucius, see, he was confused all the time, that's why I call him Confucius. All these people who claim to know the way or be the way to salvation, guess what? You can go to every single one of them's grave. And you know what you're going to find when you open it up? Their bones are still in there. But you go to the grave of Jesus and guess what? If they would have found him, surely they would have tried to disprove that Christianity is real and that Christ did not raise from the dead. But you know what? Nobody could find him. You know why? Because he was in heaven. Amen. Now, he was alive walking around. What is it about Jesus? Most importantly, we need to ask ourselves, what will we do with him? Because as we come to this weekend of Christmas, we think about Christ and the Christ child being born. But we need to first understand why it is important and why we should even care. I want us to realize something, because when I'm preparing ahead of time for sermons, if you like me, I already knew I was going to preach this sermon today, probably 2 weeks ago, but when I read my Sunday school lesson this morning, guess what? It kind of went right along with the message today. That often happens, you know, and it don't matter whether you're preaching in Genesis or Revelation. Somewhere, whatever you're preaching on is going to be connected, because the Scripture is connected all through it. But here's the thing. This morning, I want to focus on three things, and that is what the Bible says about Jesus. So I want us, if we will, to turn to Luke chapter 2. And I know y'all saying, we have looked at this passage so much here the past month, but it's okay, because Christmas is almost past, okay? And we'll start moving on. So if you will, look with me, Luke chapter 2. And I want us to look at these verses. Luke chapter 2. As we look at the announcement to angels, or excuse me, from the angels to the shepherds, I want us to look at what he says in verse 10. It says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings.'" That's good news. "A great joy, which will be to just the white people," just the black people, just the rich people, just the poor people, no, "to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a," what is the next title of Jesus? A Savior. Let's read on now. "A Savior who is," what? "Christ. And he is also," what? "Lord." Now, I want us to focus on those three titles of Jesus, because I got a shirt last month or a month before or something, and it's got all the different titles of Jesus on there. Y'all might have one too. But there's all these names of Jesus. And what's interesting is that every single one of those names of Jesus or related to Jesus has a purpose in describing him. When we had our three kids, we decided to name them what we wanted to name them. Amen. I wanted a son's name that people couldn't pick on. Amen. So we called him Austin Shane. Cheyenne came along and we needed a name that kind of matched up with Shane. So we called her Ashley, Cheyenne, Doug. And so there's names you can't really pick on. Ariel, Suzanne, Doug. We named our children what we wanted to name them. But you know, in biblical times, names had great importance. And this name that was given to God's son that was born that night had great importance, because this wasn't just any child. Even if he had been born to the King of England, he could not have had more importance than what Jesus did as he was born in that manger. And as we look at this, we realize that first and foremost, it had a profound theological statement. Because in his name literally means God saves. God saves. Remember when Moses asked God, and when he saw the burning bush and he goes up there to see it, and God tells him what to go do and say to Pharaoh? He said, "Well, who do I say sent me?" And God says, "What? I am that I am." That name translated back, and I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar by no means, comes from the word that's translated from Iesus, which they eventually turned into Jesus that we say today. But even before that, we go from Yahweh, right? And from Yahweh, you get the name Joshua, okay? And Jesus' name is literally a derivative of the name Joshua. And Joshua was called Joshua because he was supposed to be the deliverer of God's people. Amen? He was the leader of his people. And here Jesus comes on the scene. And at the time, as I say, it was a common name. But his name was different, because in his name, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, you know, you shall call his name Jesus because he is going to save his people from their sins. Do you know before that, there was no one else who could save but God alone? So in the name that the angel told Joseph from God's direction was that in Jesus Christ, he would save his people from their sins. In other words, he was showing, giving Jesus a title of deity, because as I said, only before then, God was the only one who could be seen as forgiving or getting somebody past somebody's sins. So in Jesus now was salvation. As we look at that, we realize he is Savior. It's good. You know why? Because every one of us here today are sinners. Amen? It's good that somebody came to save me, because I couldn't save myself. And you know what I find out the older I get? The more I try to do good, the worse I get at doing it. Y'all ever run into that problem? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to put myself in this position. If I go on a diet, you know what I'm going to think about all the time? See, y'all must have been there before. Because I didn't say nothing about food. If you're on a diet, the only thing you can think about is what you can't have. Right? And if you strive to not sin, what are you going to think about all the time? That one thing you can't do. So I believe this is what was going on in the Garden of Eden. God said, of all these things you can eat, but if you eat of this one, there is a consequence to eating of that one. And when you eat that one, it's not going to be good. And so I'm just throwing this out there. The Bible doesn't say it, but I think Adam and Eve walking around the Garden of Eden, and they're looking at all these trees, and they said, "They all look good, they all look good. But man, this one over here looks really good. I'm not supposed to eat that." But the more I think about it, the better it looks. Man, don't that fruit look like it could just, man, make you smarter, make you wiser, make you be like God, and look at all the health benefits of that tree. I'm just going to go ahead and eat it. Amen? Because that's how we are when we strive to defeat sin on our own. Sometimes the harder we try, the worse it gets. It's like digging a hole at the beach in the sand, dry sand, matter of fact. And the more you dig, guess what happens? It is caved in all around you. That happens, and we're constantly striving to do the same thing. No matter how good we try, how hard we try, we're still going to miss the mark. And that's what sin is. It is missing the mark of perfection with God, because His standard is perfection. And when I couldn't reach perfection, thank God He sent His Son to do it for me, because I could never do it on my own. And so He sent a way for us to be, let me rephrase it. He sent the only way for us to be saved. Amen? That is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is Savior. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As a Savior, we kind of tend to use that word lightly, that name, that title, because Savior, and we, you know what them little ram candies used to be with a little hole in the middle of them, they called them life what? Savers. And we kind of think the other way, they're going to save my life. Ain't gonna help you none, right? But in Jesus, He is a Savior. He has come to save us when we could not save ourselves. We needed it. We needed it, and He provided it. He provided the only way for us to get to God. But not only is He Savior, He is Christ. And I love this. He's not only Savior, He's Christ. That word Christ, the name Christ, comes from the word Messiah. In other words, the anointed one. This was to be the King and Messiah. He was the one who could bring peace and bring conquering at the same time. He's not only, He came lowly and gentle on the first time, but when He comes back, He's going to come back as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not going to come, with a pacifier in His mouth. He's going to come with a sword in His hand. And He's going to divide the wheat from the tares and the goats from the sheep. He knows those who are His. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is the anointed. He is Savior. But there's a third name that probably most people want to X out of Christmas. And I mean that literally, because I know society says they, want to put Xmas on everything, but Christians want to put an X over this last title of Jesus, because we want salvation, but we don't want to surrender. Amen? We want heaven, but without humbling ourselves. We want the golden streets, but we don't want to give up anything here on earth to follow Him. You see, we want all these things that the cross, the Christmas, the cradle has to offer us, and yet so many times as believers, we don't want to give up nothing to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross how often, and follow me. But yet, so many times, we don't want all that. We want the Savior, we want the Christ, the Messiah, Well, we don't want the king. Amen? We don't want somebody telling us what to do. How many of y'all like somebody telling you what to do? Raise your hands. I hear y'all. None of us like to be told what to do. And sometimes we just need to come and get honest before God and say, God, I got a problem with it. You know, God's not offended by our conversations with him. As long as we don't come accusing, God doesn't mind our questions, our concerns. He wants to lead us and guide us. Matter of fact, the Comforter is the one who is to teach us. Amen? Jesus said, I'm going to send a Comforter, and he's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things that I have taught you. And so the Comforter is going to come along and say, you know, you don't understand it right now, but God's working in you. You may not want to give this up. It's like this illustration, and I may have used this before. But I saw this picture one time as a cartoon of this little girl holding a little tiny teddy bear. Little old tiny bear. Probably a girl 3 or 4 years old. And this man's trying to give her, he got this great big old teddy bear behind his back, with holding it in one hand, and he's asking her to give him that little tiny bear. And she's unwilling to give it up. Not realizing that when she gives it up, he's going to give her something a whole lot bigger, a whole lot better. And you know, that is with us in our lives. Most of the time, God wants to do something in us that's bigger and better than what we could ever imagine. And yet we're trying to hold on to the petty stuff. That in the end won't make a hill of beans. When you die on this earth, you're going to leave it all behind. If it doesn't rust or burn down before then, rot. You see, we don't like people telling us what to do. And so as we look at the cradle and we look at the manger scene, so to speak, and we see the Savior, we see the Christ child, we want to see that because that means deliverance, but so often we don't want to surrender our lives to him. Because we think we've got to give up something that's just going to ruin our lives. But can I tell you from experience that when you give up for God, he's not going to let you go without. And we can tell you stories of how God has worked in our lives. We don't have time to get into it this morning, but just how when we didn't have any more, God provided. To people we really didn't even know. And you say, well, how can God do that? Because he can. He can use another believer, but he can also use a lost person too. Amen? It doesn't matter to him. He's in control because he is, what was the last word, the last title? He is Lord. He is King. He is sovereign. He is the ruler over everything. So, the question this morning is simply this. What are we going to do with him? What are we going to do with him? You see, as Lord Jesus stepped in and paid our penalty. He paid our price. He redeems us. He sets us free. But you know, as I think about people who go through transplants, and y'all pray for Mike and Alice and them, but if somebody gave up a part of their life so that I could live, how indebted would I feel? How indebted would you feel to that person who gave up part of them for you, or maybe who died in a car wreck or whatever, and you received, wouldn't you feel a sense of indebtedness to them and that you owed them something? But you know, that's exactly what Jesus did when he came and he lived a perfect life, because you and I couldn't live a perfect life. He lived it for us. He was a sacrificial lamb. He gave his life. He laid down his life so that you and I could have eternal life. He paid the price for our sins. And matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons." You see, Jesus paid that price. But he also made a way just not for us to be set free, but as being adopted into his family. Man, I've got so many more benefits than I ever had before. Amen? And they're not just temporary benefits. They're not going to run out when I reach 65 years old. Amen? I like the insurance does. I don't have to get on another salvation plan because Jesus already paid it from now and forever. It's paid in full. And he did all that. Paul says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." He paid the price. You see, he's not just Savior. He's not just the Christ or the Messiah. He is King. And we owe him our very lives. We owe him our praises, our singing, our testimonies. We owe it to him because we have received freely. And Paul said, or Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely do what? Give." Freely you have received, freely give. We are to keep on going. This is a gift of salvation. It's not something we take to ourselves and keep inside of us. Amen? It's supposed to be a gift that we get, but we keep passing it along so that others can take part in that same gift that we receive. He is Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. As I thought about this, and I don't know who to give credit for. I didn't take time to look it up. But I remember, I believe it's Adrian Rogers said this. If Jesus is not Lord of your all, he is not your Lord at all. Y'all need me to say that again? If Jesus is not Lord of your all, then he is not your Lord at all. That is powerful, because you know why? Jesus requires total surrender. Remember what he said about those that look back? If they put their hand to the plow looking back, they were not what? They were not fit for the kingdom of God. But so many times we want Jesus, we want the baby, we want the Christmas tree, we want the manger, we want the Savior, we want heaven, but we won't do what he tells us to do. We're not willing to give it all up. I remember what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back at me. Pretty scary. Are we totally surrendered to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are we truly surrendered to the baby? Because can I tell you something for real? If y'all don't know this already, Jesus ain't in the baby cares no more. He's not in the manger, he's not in the crib anymore. He is on the right hand of God on high. He's interceding on your behalf and my behalf, because guess what, folks? Even though I'm saved, I still need somebody to stick up for me. Amen? Because I fail him every day. I still need somebody to speak up for me and to tell God the Father when Satan's up there accusing me for being the sorry rascal that I am, that Jesus loved me, he paid the price for me. And he has done that for you. And if he's done all that for you, can I simply ask you, what are you doing for him? What are you doing for him that's impacting the kingdom of heaven? Because it's not about my kingdom, it's not about your kingdom here on earth, it's about his kingdom. And how are we making a difference in the world around us? Are we sharing his love? Man, tomorrow's Christmas. Can you believe that already? Christmas. As I said last week, I think, sometimes my weeks go round and round. As believers, we shouldn't just celebrate Christmas on December 25th. We should celebrate him each and every day. And we should share him each and every day in any way we can. We should strive to lead others to Christ. Will you stand with me this morning? I don't know how this message has spoken to you, but can I tell you simply this? There is something about his name. And if you haven't put your faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to do that today. Maybe some of you say, well, you know, I just haven't been serving God the way I should. Will you just pray and ask God to forgive you and say, Lord, help me to be the witness you want me to be and you call me to be. Because no matter what you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You better read your Bible, right? Because you are a messenger, I'm a messenger, you're an evangelist, I'm an evangelist. We're all supposed to be making a difference in our world. Be the light, be the salt. Amen? So we need to preach the word to others so that they can hear, share the good news. Brother Harold, will you pray with me as he comes? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are and all that you have done for us. Lord, forgive us when we think somehow, some way we deserve it or we can earn it or we can keep it. Because it's nothing we have done. It is all because of what you have done through your coming to earth as a baby, to living a perfect life, to dying on the cross for sins we committed, not you, for rising from the dead, Lord, 3 days later, Lord, proving that you are God's Son and that you have paid whatever was necessary to redeem us from the sin that has held us so long. Lord, help us to realize that it's not just a gift for us this Christmas, but it's a gift for everyone we come in contact with. Lord, we don't know who will accept that gift. We don't know how they will respond. But Lord, you didn't tell us to witness on knowing what we'll find out and what we won't. Lord, you just told us to simply share the good news with others. And Lord, it is up to you to save them, to divide them. Lord, however, whatever you decide to do, Lord, I pray that you would draw all men to yourself during this time. Lord, thank you for loving us and providing a way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 312.